WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Today we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the first broadcast of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Alan Hutchison reads another extract from a series of bedside books.
Number 32. The lady lies with her left leg planted firmly on the ground and the right hand waiting. The gentleman with the melon switches on the battery and places his left thigh on the edge of the swivel table, keeping the neck of the stuffed goose absolutely...
Up next, we have an interview with Michael Palin, a founding member of the Pythons. He also co-starred in the Python films and in the film A Fish Called Wanda, in which he played the stuttering thief. In 1990, I asked him about his upbringing.
Well, I was a nice middle-class boy, I suppose. My mother didn't work. My father was an engineer by trade and was born and brought up in the south of England. He was a doctor's son. He became an export manager of a big steelworks in Sheffield. I don't think he really particularly wanted to do that. I mean, I think he'd actually been much happier to be a church organist, but one was sort of pushed into the professions then. And so we lived on really very low salary in quite a nice house in Sheffield.
You grew up after the war. How did the post-war days affect your sensibility, do you think? And, you know, your worldview when you were young?
Well, the days of austerity and scarcity here, and I can remember countries like America and Australia especially were like the land of plenty where all the opportunities were. It meant in a strange way that you sort of guarded what you had rather carefully. I mean, my father was a real notebook man and kept brown paper bags for several years, you know, and used to iron bits of string. It was that sort of thing, and had lots and lots of little tins with sort of, you know, left-handed cufflinks and things in one tin and bits of, you know, sort of old Brazil nut shells in another. We kept absolutely everything. And I quite like that. I'm still rather... I love detail myself, both in sort of life and work. I tend to notice bits of detail. And in a sense, it's made me sort of... Well, perhaps helped to make me feel very sort of fond of life and rather sort of glad that I've got what I have now and that we are brought up in a time of comparative plenty.
Michael Palin is my guest, and he's speaking to us from the NPR London Bureau. The Pythons always had a lot of drag humor. I was wondering if you were ever taken to drag shows or, you know, to female impersonation shows when you were younger.
No, not really. I went to pantomime, which is a peculiarly English phenomenon, I think, isn't it? You don't have pantomime in America.
Well, explain what it is.
Well, it's a Christmas show based on a reworking of a fairy story like Jack and the Beanstalk or Babes in the Wood, in which the women play the men and the men play the women.
I don't think we have that.
Well, they have a principal boy, which is always played by a woman in a big pair of black tights and sort of little costume. She slaps her thigh a lot and, you know, the woman would play Dick Whittington, for instance, and say, "Come on, puss," and all that in a sort of very butch voice. And the men would play the ugly sisters of Cinderella. So that was my first, I suppose, that, you know, every Christmas I would see men in getting laughs out of being in drag, playing things like the ugly sisters or Dick Whittington's mother or things like that. And they were always fairly incompetent. I don't know if that's a sign of, you know, how men saw themselves or how men saw women, but there you are.
How often did you dress in drag for the Python shows?
it sounds like sort of drag addicts confessions, doesn't it? Not really that often. Uh-huh. I should think probably once every other show we got into women's outfits. Strange, isn't it, really? But I must say we did quite enjoy it. Because Python was sort of rather like, I mean, people say, why didn't you get women to play the women in Python? But that wasn't really the point. Python itself was sort of a really self-contained show where the six writers did everything. And the sort of many of the characters were rather sort of caricatures, or fairly outrageous, of a sort of cartoon feel to them. And so we were playing types of men rather than the man himself. And we were playing types of women as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really, I never convinced myself as a woman, whereas someone like Eric or Graham could look really rather wonderful. And Terry Jones, I mean, used to play his mother regularly and was wonderful. You know, one could almost think, I wish Terry would stay like that. He'd make such someone a wonderful mum.
Did you usually write your own roles?
Yes, I suppose that the major roles in any sort of sketch were usually those written by the writer of that sketch, and there were a lot of subsidiary roles in it which really you wrote for other people. But very often, yes, if you had a particularly extraordinary character which you really only you could put across, you ended up doing that after a read-through.
When the Monty Python group broke up, was it hard at all at the beginning to figure out what to do as an individual as opposed to being part of an ensemble?
Yes, because Python was such a sort of cast such a long shadow, it's quite difficult to get out of it. I knew that I wanted to do something different from Python because, that's the way you had to go. You had to go perhaps sort of unnaturally far away in order to get away from its influence.
Michael Palin, formerly of Monty Python's Flying Circus. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.